It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for being with me once again as we study the book of John on It's a Good Life. When I say that it's a good life, let me say that it's a great life. It's a great life knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but there is no better life. It's a good life knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. And I trust you've done that. I trust that you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. We pick our study up today in the book of John in chapter 19. And remember how that Pilate had been treating Jesus Christ. He wanted to let Him go, but the Jews did not want to let Him go. Jesus was before him, and Pilate had the authority, actually, to let Him go. But he was afraid of the Jews as to what the Jews might do. In verse 8 of John 19, it says, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid." Well, what saying was that? Well, verse 7 says, "The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.'" Well, then Pilate was afraid because of what they had said. And verse 9, it says, once again, Pilate went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. He wanted Jesus to confess, I believe here, that what the Jews were saying about him was true, that he had been claiming to be what they said he wasn't. And therefore, that would give him an easy out. His conscience would be cleared at that point, he thought. But, of course, that's not what happened. Jesus didn't confess to anything. He didn't say anything. But I remind you again that all through the Word of God and all through the book of John, he kept telling the people he was from God, that he was God, that he was from heaven. Verse 10 says, "Then said Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me?'" He said, "Why don't you answer me? Don't you know?" He says, "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" He said, "You need to say something. You need to confess. You need to say something to me." He says, "I've got the power to kill you or to release you." Verse 11, Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." In other words, from heaven, from God. "Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Now, those people who had brought Jesus to Pilate, their sin was greater according to what Jesus was saying here. Pilate was not innocent, though. Pilate was the one who was in control. Verse 12, "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him." He wanted to release the Lord. "But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.'" Well, here it is now. They brought it down to the home plate, we might say, to Pilate. They put him on the spot. They said, "We're going to turn you in. We're going to tell everybody that if you're for this man, you're against Caesar. So therefore, you need to do something." That's what they were saying here. They really put him on the spot. Verse 13, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover." This was a feast of the Jews, of course. And verse 14 goes on to say, "And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, 'Behold your king.'" Well, they didn't want him as a king. They didn't claim him as a king. They said that he claimed to be the king, these Jews did. But Pilate put it back on them now, and he says, "Here he is, behold your king." Verse 15, "But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' And Pilate saith unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?'" See, he's rubbing it in now. It's like putting salt in the wound. Jesus Christ is the king of the Jews. He is the king. But these people didn't want him as a king. But now Pilate is saying, "Here's your king for you." The verse goes on to say, the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Now they put it back on Pilate again. They reminded him that if he didn't do what they wanted him to do, they would let Caesar know that he was not for Caesar, but he was against Caesar. Verse 16, "Then delivered he," that's Pilate, "delivered him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away." He's on his way to the cross. Verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross," this is Jesus, "went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." That means Jesus was crucified. He was in the middle. He was on the middle cross. Verse 19, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Once again, this must have been something that Pilate was getting back at these Jews for. They didn't want Jesus to be called their king. They did not recognize him as their king. But Pilate said, "Okay, I'm going to let you have it now. Here it is. He's your king. Whether you like it or not, he is the king." Of course, Pilate didn't know that he was writing something true and putting something true on the cross there, up on the writing there, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He didn't know that was true. He was simply doing that to cause the Jews more anguish, as we might say, because they didn't want Jesus as their king. Verse 20, "This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city." Many people saw this. "And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin." It was written that way so that there would be no confusion. That everyone present there, whether they were Greek, Latin, they spoke Hebrew, Latin, or Greek, that they could understand what Pilate had written up here, that Jesus was the King of the Jews. Verse 21, "Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." They said, "Don't put that up there. Don't put it up there that he is our king, that he's a king of the Jews. Put it up there that he said, I am king of the Jews." Verse 22, Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." He said, "I'm not going to change it. This is one thing I will not change. I will not listen to you at this point about this. He is King of the Jews." That sign stays. Verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it." In other words, let's don't tear it in four pieces, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, they didn't say this. They didn't say so the scripture could be fulfilled. But this is God writing, letting us know that the scripture would be fulfilled because of this. He says that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." Now, these things, therefore, the soldiers did. Once again, the word of God is proven true because this is found in the Old Testament. Now listen the next time, and I'm going to tell you where this is found in the Old Testament. Well, in the meantime, you can look for yourself and find out about the casting of the lots for the vesture of Jesus Christ that's found in the Old Testament. And if you don't find it, I'll tell you the next time. But don't be lazy. Look into the word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're a saved person, you need to get into the word of God, and you need to study it. And this is one way that you can learn. You can learn as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart as you study the word of God. The Bible is clear that we have something that is so perfect that it'll never pass away. The Bible says that one jot or one tittle will not pass away. This heaven and earth would pass away first or before, or it would pass away, but there's not going to be one jot or one tittle of the word of God that's going to cease. Why? Because it is the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. And I believe the Word of God, and I've said this over and over again, and I'll keep saying it, that the King James is the Word of God. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The whole Scripture, the whole book, is one book. From the front to the back. From Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. It's all one. It's all together. There are no mistakes in the Word of God. Now, verse 25 goes on to say in John chapter 19, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." These women were there. They were watching. They saw what happened. Verse 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." Jesus was in essence saying, take care of my mother. Take care of her, because I can no longer watch out for her, because I am dying. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And he told his mother, behold thy son. He's speaking of that disciple whom he loved, and I believe it was John the Apostle. The rest of that verse in verse 27 says, "And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." He took care of Jesus' mother. Can you imagine the great privilege that was to have the mother of the Son of God? Now, Mary did not give birth to God. Mary gave birth to the Savior. Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ. Mary gave birth to Jesus who came into this world. He was born as a human being. And let me remind you that he was as much God had he never been man, and he was as much man had he never been God. I cannot understand everything, but I simply take God at his word when he tells us that. He lets us know that Jesus Christ came into this world. He's without sin. And because he was without sin, he could save everyone in this world if they would simply come to him. How could he do that? He would go to the cross of Calvary and give his life for every person in this world if they would simply trust him. Verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished." In other words, he came to do this. He came to die on the cross. And it goes on, everything was accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he saith, "I thirst." Jesus Christ was a human being. He needed water. He was thirsting. Remember, he had been in the judgment hall. He had been beaten. He had the crown of thorns put upon him. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. And he had the cross. He was on that cross. And he thirsted. Verse 29. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Now, whether this vinegar was a form of punishment for Jesus, I do not know. Only God knows. But I know that all of the punishment that Jesus took on the cross and before he was crucified was for me and for you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.